Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast. Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England with your hosts Amelia.
And Beth.
And yay, Beth, you're back.
I am. I had a fabulous vacation.
What'd you do?
I went to Prince Edward Island to visit my mom because she lives up there. And I had some very interesting conversations about whether or not her house was haunted. I looked around for a bunch of different books on hauntings and hung out with my son and my friend Julie and her daughter Lily. And then we came home. It was cold and it was rainy and I heard it was 95 in Boston. And now that it's 95 in Boston, I kind of wish I was back there.
It is hot. It is very hot. It is very humid. And I am looking up to buy a fan for my apartment, which I still don't have a fan.
How do you not have a fan?
I don't know. I've lived there a year and a half.
Do you have an air conditioner?
No.
How are you not dying?
Well, you know, the cat is not happy about the situation. So I promised her I'd go get a fan tonight.
Oh, yeah. My cats are like sadly, like just pathetically laid out on the floor in the kitchen. And they just like stretch out as far as they can trying to be cool. It's not working.
Yeah, no, Liddy's not happy with me either, that's for sure.
Do you put ice cubes in her water?
She does not like that.
My cats don't either, and I put them in there anyway.
Yeah, no, she gets very, very annoyed about that when I do that. I've tried for years, and she's not having it. Every time we move, I try again, and she's like, just cut it out.
She's particular, that Liddy.
She sure is, just like her mama. Today, we are talking about something that we brought up on, what was it, Ghosts in the News 2?
I think it was Ghosts in the News 2, yeah.
Ghosts in the News Part 2, and that is Ladies in White, or Women in White.
A Woman in White, yeah.
Which is a very common story that you can find all over the United States, all over the world, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to us like just about every community kind of had one of these stories, so we went to go a little deeper into it. We picked out a couple of stories here. We did some research into why we have those stories, similarities between all those stories, things like that. So we're going to get into that right now.
Cool. Starting off with sort of the historical overview of the idea of ladies in white. In general, they fall into three different categories, and they're all associated with a tragedy. But you either have a woman who was young and died tragically, you have a woman who was murdered, or you have a woman who lost children. And ultimately, these phantoms, these figures, these ideas come back and they are wandering the earth looking for some sort of closure before they can move on to the afterlife. And so no matter where you're hearing these stories, you're going to find, like, if you had a checklist, like, it's going to be a woman. Obviously, because it's a woman in white, right?
Yes.
It's either going to be young and died tragically, murdered, or has lost children. So you could almost, like, if I was teaching this in one of my classes, like, we would have a checklist, like, as we're going through, like, is this a woman in white story? Like, and we would be able to check the boxes of every one of these stories as we go through.
Now, one thing to me that's kind of interesting, isn't that most female ghosts?
Well, I mean, typically people who are ghosts die. So, yes.
Check mark there.
Okay. Most women, historically, have had children.
Correct.
And, I mean, the only two ways, really, to die are to either die young and tragically or old and possibly murdered.
I mean, there are a few variations I could think of in between those two. But I'd say, yeah, I mean, if you're going to be a ghost, typically, I mean, I think the traditional thing is, you know, you have some kind of unfinished business.
Yes.
And typically, it was like a tragedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think we can, for the most part, consider most deaths a tragedy.
Yes.
But like a sudden happening and or a suicide.
Right. So it's some sort of traumatic event that has happened and left that energy imprint that we talk about sometimes.
Lady in White stories to me are interesting in that a lot of times it does feel like one of those time loops we talk about, mm-hmm. of energy being stuck. What is very interesting about Lady in White stories is that they tend to, in many cases, interact with people more, I feel like.
Yes, definitely.
definitely more than your average ghost. There is a direct communication. There is oftentimes touching. There's a lot of times getting into cars.
Yes.
Because most of these, and not all of them, most of them happen on kind of the side of the road type thing, or
usually
by a bridge.
Usually in a rural community.
Yes.
Yep.
So there's usually a lot of that going on. So I think that's kind of what makes them a little more interesting. And I don't know. I don't know. Does that make them easier to believe or less likely to believe? Because they are – I mean, it is a difference between mm-hmm. most hauntings we see. This yes. isn't a ghost who's turning your lights on and off. This tends to be a ghost on the side of the road trying to, like, hitchhike, trying mm-hmm. to talk to you. Maybe you will experience car problems, and that's when you see them. I mean, so right. I don't know.
But there is that attempt at somehow getting you as the live person to notice them and to really pay attention.
Yes.
In my kind of like research about, you know, like what's going on with the women in white culturally as this cultural phenomenon that goes back hundreds of years. What I found out was that just in passing really quickly, in medieval England, if you saw a woman in white, it was an omen of death. That she was almost like the angel of death coming to see you and let you know it's time to wrap your stuff up.
Interesting.
So that the woman in white was not a positive thing in medieval England. In Holland and Germany, however, women in white are considered to be healers and gentle spirits. So in Germany, they would typically appear at noontime in the bright light, and they would be like stunningly beautiful. And they were just a very gentle spirit who was there to just kind of guide you through the day. In Holland, they would come at night in graveyards, and they were believed to be the spirits of recently passed healers in the community.
All right, cool. As a healer, I support this.
Okay.
Totally support it.
Well, would you come back all dressed in white to let people know that you're still here to provide healing guidance?
I might. I always tell people in my life, like, yeah, if I were to, I mean, isn't that a joke I always say? Like, if I die, Beth will come find me. Like,
have you told that to other people?
Yeah, of course I have. I say it all the time.
Hopefully I'll know where to look. Yeah. I will. You'll be out at that little primitive hut thing that you're going to build.
I'll be at my primitive hut.
Right. I'm going to move kind of out of Europe for a little bit, but at the end I'm going to come back to some Slavic mythology. But then as you came to the New World, in Mexico, they have La Llorona? La Llorona? La Llorona? How do you think I say that?
I don't know. I'm not looking at the word. What's the word look like?
Double L-O-R-O-N-A. My Spanish is horrible.
Double L is a Y. So La Llorona.
Okay.
La Llorona.
Llorona. La Llorona. All right. So the myth of La Llorona was a woman who wanted to be married to this man, but she had children from a previous husband, and he wanted no part of a woman who had other children. So she took her children.
Oh, this doesn't sound like it's going to a good spot.
No, this is going to a horrible spot.
Oh, my gosh.
We're ghost hunters. They don't usually
I
have
know.
Happy stories.
I know.
So she takes her children to a large lake in town and drowns them.
Why do people keep doing that? Someone just tried to do that last week up here.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. Well, you were on vacation. Yes. Yes.
I don't know. I'm desperately trying to remember the name of the woman in Texas who did that.
Yeah, well, the woman in Massachusetts last week did the exact same thing. Three kids in a car drove into a reservoir.
On purpose.
Yes, very much on purpose. Luckily, someone saw, police came, kids are fine. They're not with their mom, who is
right.
now in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I mean, it definitely happens. It happens a lot.
Was she doing it in order to get rid of them, in order to be with some guy who was not interested in having children?
No, she was looking to get rid of everybody.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know. But luckily someone stepped in and now everyone's safe.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, and those kids are permanently scarred and traumatized and...
Well, there's that.
Yeah. That's just, the whole thing is just awful.
But we love a good comeback story. This is it's their time now.
That clap was really loud. Watch the spikes on the thing when you do that.
I like it.
Okay. So after she murders the children, she goes back to the guy and is like, hey... problem solved, you and me. And he's like, yeah, you're nuts. I don't think so. Please go away. And then she goes back and she drowns herself in the lake, which you would think that would be the end of the story. Except
we're talking about a ghost hunting podcast. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So she goes to heaven and she is stopped at the pearly gates and they ask her, where are your children? And she's like, oh. And they send her back. So she's doomed to roam the earth looking for her murdered children. So she's out there wailing, crying. She yells, oh, my children, in Spanish. I have no idea how to say it. And she supposedly kidnaps children. She's like a jack of all terrible things. Yeah. So there's that kind of woman in white story.
All right.
In Japan, they are called, and no, I don't know how to say this. I'm just making this one right up.
All right.
Yurei. Y-U with a straight line over it, R-E-I. And unlike the very benevolent, helpful spirit guides of England, the Yurei of Japan are vengeful and they are attached to objects. So they follow objects around and they will attack people who try to interact with the objects. So yeah, women in white in Japan, not fun.
Japan has a lot of, and I haven't researched it enough and I'd really love to, but their whole culture around spirituality and like spirits is fascinating.
From what I know of it, yes, I would agree with that.
Yes, totally different than what we think. A lot of it really does make sense, but it's a very interesting culture in that regard and in many other regards.
That's kind of around the world. And so coming back into Europe, in Slavic mythology, their myth of the woman in white usually involves a young woman wandering in the fields. And she comes upon people, quite like in Germany, right in the heat of the day. And she carries with them with her a big scythe. And she'll ask people questions or she'll try to attack them. And if you don't answer her questions correctly, then she strikes you dead. She cuts your head off with the big scythe or she'll set madness on you. So it seems like it was an easy and convenient way to explain heat stroke in the middle of the field. That like suddenly you'd be out there in the middle of the day and it's really hot and you're kind of losing your mind because you have nothing to drink. And you see this kind of bright white spot in person and then you just kind of go nuts.
Yeah.
Because you have heat stroke.
Right.
Right?
Interesting.
And so that's part one of the Slavic myth. The other half of the Slavic myth is that parents on the farms would tell their children about this woman in order to keep the children away from the valuable crops. So don't go out and play in the fields because the woman in white might get you.
I like that. That's tricky parenting.
Yeah. How you had to keep your kids entertained before there was Fortnite?
There you go.
All right, so that's kind of some basic woman in white ideas and stories from around the world. And Amelia has been kind enough to bring us some stories from here locally that she's going to tell us about, and we'll decide what we think of them. We'll check the boxes here. Should we make a checklist?
Sure.
All right.
So my first one comes from Route 26 up in Maine, and that's by Poland, Maine, where we all get our water.
Poland Springs.
Poland Springs.
Excellent.
Best water around. So there's the main lady in white, which I just said, on Route 26. And so the common thing everyone says is that she is between the ages of 20 and 25. She's dressed in all white, and she appears to need help. So there are three different stories surrounding her death of what people think who she is and what happened. So story one. She's the murdered bride of George Knight. She was slashed to death in 1856 in her farmhouse along Route 11.
Who killed her?
George Knight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She wanders up and down surrounding roads looking for a ride, as she is said to have a warning for anyone who picks her up. Story two. She was a young...
Wait. What's the warning?
It's different for anyone.
Oh. Yeah, so yeah. They're individualized warnings.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
It could be things like use your imagination.
No, even though that wasn't a warning they gave me. Beth and I went to go see a mentalist, and he gave me a card, and he's like, I don't know who writes these, and I don't know who they're for. Spirit just sends it to us, and I got one. And he gave it to two people in the class, and everyone else, he's like, if you guys want one, give me $5. But I got one for free, and I was so excited. Beth and I ran to her car. Where were we? We were in downtown Boston, right? In downtown Boston. And we climb into Beth's car and I rip open my letter because it's like, read it when you're alone and blah, blah, blah. It just says, use your imagination. And I was like, what the hell is this?
It was the worst fortune cookie ever.
Like, I thought it was going to be something like, oh, like, love is about to find you or something I could, like, use. Like,
right. Or
call,
like,
George. Call, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like, run that red light.
Right.
Like, well, something that you could act upon, like, something. Use your imagination. Maybe the idea is we were supposed to use your imagination to figure out what it could have said.
No.
Well,
it was just some crap. I mean,
we are having a little fun with that now.
It was just some crap. Okay, back to the story. Story two. She was a young girl on her way to prom when her car wrecked and she died. She is said to still wander the roads looking for a ride to the dance she was never able to attend. Now, that is also very common in American lady-in-wait stories, is it's a young woman on her way to prom. That happens a lot. That especially, those kind of stories happen a lot, I'd say, in, like, the Midwest. That's a big thing. Like, young girls going to prom, dying in car accidents.
They're very wholesome in the Midwest.
Yes. Okay, story three. And this is acted out at Harvest Hill Farms on the Gauntlet, which is kind of one of their, well, it's, like, a big thing up there. It's like, what's the one we have around here? Wicked Woods?
Like a, I have no idea what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no, you do.
Like a Halloween thing? Like Spooky Woods?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's one of those things. So this is a thing that they do in the right All nearby. Right.
I was also wondering, do you mean like King Richard's Fair? Like, because Gauntlet? Like...
I mean, it's people dressed up doing things. It's people dressed up pretending to be someone else. But no, this is like their like Spooky
Woods. So it's their Spooky Woods.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, right? It used to be down at... Foxborough?
I have no idea. I know Wicked Woods is still a thing.
Okay.
I've never been. I don't do those things.
All right. If you have feedback for us on this, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, if anyone knows what we're talking about, please tell us.
We have a vague idea, no, but really details. Know. We need details.
Okay. So this one is about a bride killed on her way to be married on Route 11. She died in a car wreck and still wanders searching for someone to take her to the church. Interesting.
Okay.
Okay. So
so you have two stories about the lady who are somebody who is young and died tragically.
Yes.
And one where the lady was murdered.
Yes.
Okay, so we can check the boxes.
Yes. So our latest sighting that I found online happened on June 11th, 2009. So a little while ago, and almost exactly 10 years ago.
Actually, almost exactly.
What day does the podcast come out?
So what's today?
Today's the 5th.
So that was in June though, wasn't it?
No, July.
Oh, one moment.
Do, 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 do.
This should come out on the 10th.
Okay, so if more people listen to our podcast on Thursday than they do on Wednesday. So
really?
Yes, by far. So if today is Thursday and you are listening and it is July 11th, 10 years ago today. July 11th, 2009, a teen was frantically flashing his lights to flag down a police officer. When the police officer got to his window, he was pale as a ghost. Not the cop, the guy in the car. He was rambling about seeing a woman in white near the frozen custard stand. He said he stopped, and the woman asked for a ride to the church on Route 11. It was after midnight, and he thought it was strange, but he wanted to help her. She asked if he went to the school nearby, which he did. When he got to the church and turned to say goodbye, she said the cops would be here in a minute. He turned to look to see if she saw their lights, and when he looked back, she had vanished. He never heard of the stories of the lady in white. The police officer, however, had heard of the story and knew exactly what had happened. Ooh.
Is that the end of the story?
Yes.
Well, how did the police, like, so what happened? Like, I feel like I'm left not knowing how it resolved.
What do you mean, how it resolved? She disappeared.
Did the policeman, like, walk the nice boy home? Did he, like, have a nervous breakdown? It was, like...
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that one's... I need more details. Does anybody know what happened with that 10 years ago? If you're the policeman that actually did that 10 years ago, can you call us? Email us?
DM us on Instagram at ghosthuntinginNewEngland or on Twitter, ghosthuntingNE. All right, so now we're on to the ghost of the hunt... What a stupid joke. Ghost of the Huntington Theater. My computer crashed, and so I'm looking at this article trying to like get it right. Mm-hmm. And so I was reading off the title and the Ghost of the Huntington Theater, which is why I was like, what am I looking at right now? Okay. So the Huntington Theater was built in 1925, and it's supposed to be really haunted. Fox News ranked it one of the three most haunted theaters in the United States. And then they had another show, Project Ghostlight, came to visit the theater at one point. And so there are a couple different ghosts here. The first ghost they like to talk about is Henry Jewett, who is the theater's first owner. And he opened the Repertory Theater of Boston as a permanent home for his company, the Henry Jewett Players. They fell into financial hardship, and he was forced to close that theater down. Then he died. And a lot of people said he died at home. That was, like, where it was reported. But the rumors is that he hung himself underneath the stage in the theater, which is really sad and also dramatic. So I believe that one.
I would think that we could probably get a copy of his death certificate and find out, did he die by hanging or did he die by another means? And that should answer that question quickly.
Maybe, but it was 1925, so I don't know how legit those things were. You can kind of say whatever you wanted.
I think they were still pretty legit. I mean, they would have been handwritten, but I think they would have been legit.
Maybe.
I don't think that medical examiners were sketchy.
You don't think metal? I think they're still sketchy.
Really?
Everyone has a price.
Yeah, they're doctors.
Everyone has
a price. And they don't really care. And they like to, like, cut open dead people.
And people are already dead. I mean, yeah, right, everyone has a price. Oh, here's $100. How about we say he died at home in bed, all right? As opposed to in 1925 in very Catholic Boston saying he committed suicide.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
Well. It doesn't matter. Huntington staff members have been known to reportedly see his ghost drifting through the corridors wearing the same clothes as in his painting in the theater lobby. That's convenient.
Was that his, well, I mean, it would have been his favorite outfit if it's what he was wearing when he had his portrait done.
Yeah, I guess. In 1991, Trinity Repertory Company put on a performance in the then called BU Theater during the Huntington summer off season. It was opening night for Frankie and Johnny at the Clair de Lune. At the start of the show, the house manager just couldn't dim the lights for whatever reason. They were having a lot of electricity issues. And as we know, ghosts mess with our electricity. So after continuing to try, the lights just dimmed totally on their own. And at the end of the performance, a number of patrons complained about feeling chills despite the New England summer heat.
Well, that's happened to all of us at the end of a summer night, that it's been hot, hot, hot. And you get kind of sunburned and you're tired and you're dehydrated and all of a sudden you're getting all of these like weird kind of tingly feelings.
Yeah.
And it feels kind of like you have chills.
Yeah. So then the other famous ghost, which they don't really have any information on, so I don't know how famous he is. So that's the ghost of the green room. And like when TV crews and stuff come, they like slam doors and things lock and it's like the ghost and he's supposed to protect them from the TV crews. So they're like theater people.
I would think theater people would like TV crews.
No.
No? Why not?
No. Because, like, it's two different things. Like, okay. Theater, acting on the stage, it's, like, a, different than, like, a TV.
Okay.
Acting. Okay.
Is it, like, the Army says they're the best, but the Marines say they're the best?
I have no idea. I know people do that. I don't know if it's the same thing.
Okay.
I'd say I know more Army and Marine people than I do theater people. Okay, so.
Or TV people.
Or TV people, yeah. Okay. Okay. Then many people have reported seeing sightings of the Lady in White, which is why I'm telling this story. And that's a ghost who tends to hang around at dress rehearsals and who is believed to be a former wardrobe mistress. One evening, when a former Huntington employee turned off the lights as she was leaving her otherwise empty theater office, she reportedly heard a female's voice whispering, "I don't like the dark." Spooky. So, and what is interesting about this, and this is the interesting part I want to talk about. So they don't give me a date on when that happened. But in 1999, and this is a gruesome story, so if you are a little squeamish, just hit the 30-second go-by button. During the summer, a passerby began to notice an intense smell coming from the theater. Believing an animal might have died recently, one Huntington employee discovered the origin of the scent. Stepping into the alleyway...
Is the scent capitalized?
No.
Oh.
Stepping into the alleyway behind Studio 210, the employee noticed several maggots falling from above and discovered a decomposing female body on the catwalk overhead. The woman had been a resident of the building next door, and though the specifics remain vague, she allegedly fell from a window to the fire escape where her body was found several weeks later. People call her girlfriend, and she... still haunts the dressing rooms and second floor studio space, Props and costumes have been found damaged or altered and sometimes disappear altogether. And that's that story.
So she lived next door.
Yes.
And she somehow got on the roof of the theater and fell onto the catwalk?
No.
How did... All right, tell me again.
She fell out of her window onto the fire escape.
Oh. She was just on the fire escape?
She was found in the alleyway behind the theater.
And she was there for weeks?
Yes. In the summer. In 1999, which really isn't that long ago. Right. 20 years ago this summer. If you're listening to this podcast in the summer, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah. I had already graduated high school.
That's so scary.
Yeah. This was in modern times.
Mm-hmm.
And she laid in an alley in downtown Boston for weeks before someone found her?
That is correct.
That doesn't seem reasonable. I could understand maybe like a day or two, but weeks? And I'm pretty sure that after, I watch a lot of Forensic Files. Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure that after weeks, like, she wouldn't even be recognizable as like a body anymore. Like, she would just be kind of like a goo.
I mean, that's kind of like what I think was implied with like maggots were falling down on people, which is how they realized to look up.
And nobody noticed she was missing? The poor lady. So now she wanders around the Huntington Theater, stealing props and changing scenery.
Stealing props and costumes. And so that's what I found interesting, is that the lady in white was one of the costume designers. And all they say about her is that she's like, I don't like the dark. But then this other woman they're saying who died is like messing around with people's props and costumes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, like, how do you... That sounds more like the lady in white doing this stuff, right?
I would agree, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I was like, well, I should bring up this last, even though it's disgusting, story, because I think that they're related. Okay.
So the lady that didn't, you didn't have too much information, the lady who doesn't like the dark, we don't have any information on how she died.
No.
So we can't check one of the boxes.
Well, that's what I was saying, is that I don't know if that is her or if the other woman is her. Because the other woman checks the boxes.
She at least checks the died tragically, yes, and was unnoticed box. Like,
yes.
But
it's like a woman in distress. She's a young woman.
Okay. So, yeah. Interesting. Of course, the person who heard, I don't like to be in the dark or whatever it was, mm-hmm, could have just been imagining it. Could have been a late night. Could have been projecting her own ideas of, I don't like to be in the dark.
Okay. Last story.
All right.
This is, well, so some of the things I found on it said Lady in White, and then some of them said Lady in Red.
Okay.
But I found it interesting, and I included it, because the reason she is a Lady in Red should have been the reason she would be a Lady in White.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so there is a old covered bridge called the Goldbrook Bridge in Stowe, Vermont, which is a very beautiful town, and if you're ever in Vermont, you should go, because it's lovely. This bridge is also known as Emily's Bridge, due to the fact it is haunted by, you guessed it, a girl named Emily. So there are many stories about how Emily died on the bridge. One is that she was supposed to elope with her lover, who was meeting her on the bridge, and then when he didn't show up, she hung herself from the rafters. Another version is that she met a man who stole her heart, and the couple made plans to marry. The day she was supposed to marry, she showed up at the church in her beautiful red wedding dress, ready to give herself to a gentleman in holy wedlock, but he didn't show up. And the jilted bride took the family wagon in a frenzy of anger and sorrow, and she was merciless on the horses, whipping them until they were traveling at an incredible pace, like she just wanted to get out of there, and planning perhaps to confront the faithless groom. As she approached the bridge, she failed to turn and drove the horses and the carriage over the brink onto the rocky brooks below, and they all died, which is really sad. But there is no actual written historical evidence that Emily ever existed, and the first mention of the bridge being haunted by someone named Emily came in 1968 when high school students wrote a paper on the subject claiming that while they were using a Ouija board on the bridge, the entity presented itself and said her name was Emily. Other people using the Ouija board have reported the identity has also said her name is Emily and said she was killed on the bridge by her fiancé's mother. Okay.
All right. Can I just stop for a second and say, kids in Stowe, Vermont in 1968, mm-hmm, out in the middle of the night on a bridge, mm-hmm, were definitely smoking the pot.
I think that is true of any teenager
I would bet the farm on
So that's probably
on those particular
that
kids.
And that date is interesting to me because that is kind of the height of when Ouija boards became very big, very mainstream. Mm-hmm. And then they dip down, and now my concern is they are becoming very, very mainstream again. And I don't like that. But it and is happening.
So they wrote a paper about it?
Yeah, like their school newspaper.
So they wrote an article about it?
Yeah.
Okay. They, like, wrote a paper for a teacher on a time they got stoned and went and used a Ouija board? Really?
Why not?
It just seems kind of bad taste.
You know, Vermont, it's a different scene up there. Well, people are laid back.
Even still.
It's cool. I'm going to move to Vermont one day.
Okay. They have beautiful scenery there.
I love Vermont so much.
Every time I drive, I go up 89, and I'll go over the White River Junction, mm-hmm. And there's, like, this big hill in front of me, and I'm just convinced that it's, like, fake scenery that they brought in from Hollywood somewhere.
I know. It's so gorgeous.
It's unbelievable.
It's so beautiful. So the land I'm looking to purchase for my Privden Putts is, like, 10 minutes from the Vermont border.
That's a long way away.
It's very far away. It's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Many people who have visited this bridge, Emily's Bridge, have experienced a lot of paranormal activity, which is why we're talking about it, such as scratch marks appearing on the vehicles that were parked on the bridge and being touched or scratched by Emily's ghost.
Why is she scratching people? See, you're a ghost. Why you gotta scratch? She's mad. Why you gotta be like that?
I have a comment on that when I'm done with this.
Okay.
Often strange noises are heard on the bridge, such as footsteps, ropes tightening, and a girl screaming. Many have also reported seeing a white apparition around the area of Emily's Bridge. People that park their vehicles on the haunted bridge say they tend to hear banging noises from Emily hitting the vehicle on the outside or dragging sound along the top of their cars. The most distinct paranormal events seem to take place in around the hours of 12 a.m. to 3:30 a.m., and that is very common. Those are the witching hours. That's the time most paranormal activity does occur. It's between those hours. So what I want to say about people scratching, I do not believe that is Emily, typically in my research as a ghost hunter. If you are getting scratched by something in a haunted area, it is a non-human entity. Now, I bring this up because what else had gone on in 1968 on the bridge?
Somebody used a Ouija board.
Exactly.
And
thank
brought
you.
In the non-human entity.
Yes, which is very common. And that is what we always say on this podcast. Please don't mess around with Ouija boards. Because you don't know what you're doing, and now people are getting scratched, and their cars are getting damaged, and that's on you. That's on you. That's your fault. You live with that. Tragic.
Very. No, I would absolutely have agreed with that. It just seems like between the first stoned high school kids in 1968 mm-hmm. and then the repetitive opening of that door. Mm-hmm. by other people on the bridge with the Ouija board that you talked about, like that. Sorry, I'm not going to go investigate there because there could be a demon.
Yeah, we don't do that. No. But it's an interesting story. It's also interesting to me, red wedding dress.
So this was something I was thinking about, and I can't keep interrupting you because then you never get through the story. But mm-hmm. I just feel like so many of these like bride-to-bes, they decide to get married, mm-hmm. and then the groom skips out on them at the wedding. And then they go and kill themselves.
Yeah, I would.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I mean,
I usually think of you as a much stronger person.
I was
going to
say, as
that.
A feminist, I mean, I wouldn't, but I might.
Well, it just,
I wouldn't be happy.
It just makes me wonder, how many of those women were pregnant, and now they just can't go through with the shame of being an unmarried woman with a child? They're forever.
I never thought about that.
So, And yeah, red wedding dress. Even in today's very modern, do what you like, be you kind of thing mm-hmm. that everybody's out there doing. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that there's many red wedding dresses going on.
Not for first weddings.
Oh, definitely not even for a second. That's
no, second weddings. I know people who kind of just do whatever they want.
Yeah, but even still, like you don't red just isn't like a color that
sexy. It's sexy.
Yeah, but that's generally not.
Hey, I mean, I
don't
you
know.
It's a different time.
Okay. I was thinking most people you'd do like a blue, a green, like an ivory.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe yellow.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about that people would be pregnant. I just assume it's like a bunch of hopeless, romantic women who. And you got to think about it too.
There can't possibly be that many hopelessly romantic women.
as a hopeless romantic, I can say we're out there.
Well,
we're out there. We're out there. We're owning businesses. We're fighting the patriarchy, but we're still hopeless romantics at heart. It's different. And, well, the other thing, too, is you have to think about back then, in addition to, and it is an extremely good point that you bring up about the possibility of them being pregnant, but it's also, I mean, what were women supposed to do back then? Your entire life was centered around you getting married.
Right. And raising the children.
Your entire life. Mm-hmm. That was it. Your whole existence. You're supposed to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're getting ready to get married, and it's supposed to happen, and
he doesn't show up.
Right.
No excuse. No, like, I want to see other people, or this just isn't working for me. Just
right. So I can totally see that. That it makes plenty of sense to me back then.
Ghosted at the altar.
Yeah, and it's tragic. It's awful. And don't do that. And don't ghost people in real life either. Like, oh, my goodness. Have some confidence. Just be like, hey, I don't want to see you. That's fine. You just stop talking to people.
Right.
Rude. That's so rude.
Just something as easy as like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
Right. But people don't like conflict.
A bunch of freaking wimps. Okay. Moving on. So, that makes it sound also like I get ghosted all the time. And I just want everyone to know that I don't.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
Right. Thank you. But it only takes happening one time to really piss you off. So it just only has to happen once in 30 years. Okay. So moving on. Let's move on. Have we talked enough about the lady in white? Are we ready to move on?
I think we're ready to move on.
Okay. I bought myself a really amazing birthday present, Beth.
Excellent. What did you buy?
Oh, my God. I really knocked it out of the park for myself this year.
Okay.
Oh, my God. And I'm telling you this because I think our listeners will be very interested.
I would assume that's why you're bringing it up.
Yes. I have on July 20th, mm-hmm. 6 days before I turn the big 3-0.
You should see Amelia right now. She's
I'm
like,
so excited.
She's got her hands spread out and she's holding on to the side of the table and she's trying to like stretch out the anticipation
so
of what
happy.
This is.
I'm so happy. I am getting a reading with Lori Cabot.
Excellent.
Do you know who that is? You don't know who that is.
I have no idea who that is.
I'm going to tell you who that is. Okay. Lori Cabot is one of the most well-known witches in all of Western society. She is responsible for Salem, Massachusetts being what it is today.
Excellent.
Yes. So she, part of her story is she was a witch back like in like the 60s and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's 86 years old.
Okay.
So, like, and that was my whole thing. It's like, I didn't know if I wanted to get a ring with her. There's this astrologer, Lisa Kelly, I really like, and I was kind of going back and forth because it's not cheap. And I was like, well, like, Lori Cabot, I mean, now or never, you know, without
right.
She was the first witch in Salem. I mean, obviously not. I mean, maybe. I mean, depending on how you look at history.
There might have been some witches before that.
Right. But, so she started Crowhaven Quarter. Shout out to them, and shout out to Lorelei, who is another witch who now owns it. Lori had sold it to her, and she's a great person. She was the first person to ever put Manipura on her shelves, so I will always shout her out.
Oh, and sorry, what is Manipura?
Oh, wow, Manipura, thank you so much for asking, is my Reiki-infused business. We make bath bombs and pillow sprays and lip balm and all kinds of fun stuff, and you can check us out online at manipurabodyandmind.com. So, yes, I have the half-hour reading with Lori Cabot.
Mm-hmm.
The main witch. I'm so excited. I hope she tells me all kinds of cool, wacky things about my future. She mm-hmm. has a face tattoo. I'm here for that. I've called some people up there and tried to get her to do an interview on our show, and I haven't gotten a call back.
Well,
but now I'm giving them $200. So I'm hoping I could maybe ask her again.
Maybe.
I can ask.
Yeah.
I can ask.
You
Maybe
should ask,
she'll agree.
You should ask that as one of your questions about the future. When will she come and do?
I will ask at the end.
Okay.
I'll get, like, all my stuff first then.
Okay.
Because you don't want to, like,
piss someone off.
Piss
off the psychic.
The witch. She's a witch.
Oh, she's a witch.
She's a witch. Okay. She's a real witch. Yeah.
Does she have a cauldron? I'm sorry. Is that witch insensitive? Was that poor witch humor?
No, because I think a lot of them do.
Okay.
I know witches have actual cauldrons.
Okay. I think that would be neat to have a cauldron, like, out in my backyard.
I would love one.
Mm.
Not for doing witch things, just for doing Amelia things.
Yeah,
but
just to have it and kind of, like, let my neighbor know that maybe I would throw him in there.
Yeah. You know, you can do all kinds of stuff. You make some soup. Who knows?
Yard soup?
Yeah.
That sounds excellent. I could make yard soup.
Yeah.
I'd be down with that.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a drive-by ghosting that we can share with everybody. It's been a while since we did one of these, but if you're interested in having one of your drive-by ghostings, make sure that you just get it to us.
I think the best way to send it to us, if you can, record yourself saying it.
Yes.
On like a voice app and then email it to us at ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com.
I would agree. That is going to be the best way to do it because then your voice gets to tell your story.
Yes.
So in this case, it was somebody who didn't want their voice on it. So they texted it to me and I am going to read you their story. This is from John, which is his real name.
Hey, John.
I've known him for years and years and years. And here is his story. I'm not sure if it's so much of a ghost story. So my Nana passed away when I was in fourth grade, but when she was alive, her and I used to sneak up on each other and scare each other. Now my Nana was about 95 pounds, soaking wet, and needed a walker to get around. Sounds mean, right? Well, when I tell you she used to get me good, she would get me good. Laughy face, laughy face. Anyways, a few years after she passed, my sister and I were upstairs watching TV, and I kept hearing someone call my name. So I would mute the TV for a minute and listen and would hear nothing, and I would go back to watching TV, and then I would hear it again. After about the third or fourth time of me muting the TV, my sister turns to me and says, "What the hell are you doing?" So I asked if she heard someone calling my name, and she replied no and looked at me funny. We were the only two home. So I get off the couch and I check the bedrooms because I was convinced that I heard it. Well, now I was making her nervous, so I just left it alone and went about the day. Later that night, everyone was downstairs and we were laughing about it and going on about the night. Well, I got up to go do something and walked past the stairs to the second floor and there were no lights on up there. It was pitch black. And then I heard my name again. So I walk up a few stairs and I look up behind me at the railing going to the back bedrooms. And there was my friggin' Nana. Scared the shit out of me. No one believed me, but when I tell you that she got the last laugh, holy hell.
That's pretty funny. That's a good one.
Nanas are the best. So thank you, John, for sharing that with us. And it just goes to show you that everybody will have a little ghost story that they can tell.
Yes, they do. And please send us yours. So now we go on to reviews. We've gotten one. So please leave us more. And don't just hit five stars. Give us like something to read. Like, just give us something.
Yeah, we're really happy to read your reviews here.
I love that. Feed our ego. That they need to be fed. Okay, so this one comes from Adam. Both women are charming and keep everything interesting. They make the drive to work fly by and new episodes can't come fast enough. I'm originally from Connecticut, and I miss hearing the local New England ghost stories, so this podcast helps make me feel like I am back at home. Thank you for such a great show. Well, thank you, Adam, so much for listening to our great show, and we really appreciate it, and keep on listening, and you're awesome.
Thanks, Adam. I wonder where you're at now. If you're originally from Connecticut, your message makes me think that you probably moved away, and I am intuitively saying North Carolina. Are you in North Carolina now?
Do you know Adam?
I don't, but there was just something about that that screamed North Carolina.
Are you sure you didn't look at it before?
No.
Yes, he lives in North Carolina. You're right. There you go.
No, he doesn't. Stop it.
Yes, he does.
How do you know?
I'm on his Facebook.
Spooky.
Very spooky.
How did I know that?
I don't know. Sure you didn't look at it 2 weeks ago when he left us this review?
No, I'm sure. I never look at the reviews.
All right.
I always wait for you to read them because I think they're more fun that way. I can't always turn on and off my psychicness, but...
There you go. You did it that time. Apparently. That was pretty good. That was good. Big news. Yay! We are finally on the Serial Spirits podcast, which is coming out the same day as this podcast, which is July 10th. So that is great. And thank you so much to our friends over at Serial Spirits for having us and being there and...
We had a really great interview with Brendan Shea a few weeks ago, and so if you want to hear our chit-chat with him, we'd love to have you listen to it.
Yes, and that's great.
I have one more thing to talk about.
All right.
And I kind of talked about it a little bit at the beginning, but as you know, I went to PEI last week. And so there I am.
And can you remind me what PEI is short for?
Oh, PEI is short for Prince Edward Island.
Great.
And it's the loveliest place in the whole wide world. It's very windy, but it looks like Ireland.
Okay. So,
when you picture Ireland in your head, you know how you picture like the big rolling fields and everything's all green all the time.
Leprechauns.
I have not encountered a leprechaun in PEI.
Fairies?
I haven't encountered any of those either. Although I am going to Ireland in August, so I'll be sure to keep an eye out.
Beer?
There'll be lots of beer.
No, in Prince Edward Island.
Of course there's beer.
Okay.
Mainly Prince Edward Island is known for mussels, which you would not be okay with.
No.
They also have... North Lake is known as the tuna fishing capital of the world, which you would again not be okay with.
Nope. Also allergic to that.
Right. We go in June because it's still lobstering season, so you should wait until July when all the lobsters are gone. Poor Amelia. In addition to being a vegan, she has a shellfish issue, so.
The worst one recorded at MGH.
Wow. That is definitely not a record I would want to hold.
No.
Okay.
But it's a record I have.
All right. So anyway, so I'm there in Prince Edward Island at my mom's little cottage. And obviously they know that we do this podcast. And her partner, Mike Tobin, he is talking about the fact that he thinks that the cottage there is haunted, that where they live. He's like, well, you know, I hear footsteps upstairs sometimes, or there are a couple of things. And I'm like, Tobin, this place is not haunted. Like, if it was haunted, I would feel it. Like, there's nothing going on here. Nothing at all. You have no ghost. Sorry. So that night, in the middle of the night, randomly, 3 o'clock in the morning, the smoke detector from hell goes off.
Hmm.
But it goes, beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep. Just enough to wake everybody up.
Hmm.
But then it stopped, turned itself off. And so I was wondering, is that the ghost playing with the electrical stuff in the house? Letting me know I was wrong.
Or is it low on batteries? It's a hardwired detector.
No, it's not hardwired, but no, it's not low on batteries.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it didn't do it any other night either.
That's what they do when they're low on batteries.
But not, usually they just do it chirp.
Hmm.
Chirp.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be.
Could also be some sort of random electrical glitch, have nothing to do with ghosts, but...
You said it's not hardwired.
Hmm?
You said it wasn't hardwired.
No.
It's not electrical glitch.
Well, batteries, sir.
No. I like to think it was a ghost.
Okay.
Do you know what time of night it was?
It was a little bit after 3.
Perfect. Then it was a ghost. It was definitely a ghost.
Okay, because it was the witching hour?
Yes.
Okay.
Around 3:15?
I want to say it was like 3:02.
Okay, close enough.
Yeah. Yeah, just enough to wake everybody up. And
perfect.
We all grumbled about it in the morning, and the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, I bet it was a damn ghost telling me I was wrong.
There you go.
Right. So, there's that. It was fun.
Cool.
All right.
That's awesome.
Anything people should be doing for us between now and next week?
Tell your friends. Tell your friends about our spooky podcast. And you know what? You have friends who don't know you're spooky. And they need to know. And this is a good thing. Like, oh, hey, like, I don't really believe in ghosts, but I like this podcast. And then you find out your friend also believes in ghosts. Like, because, you know, like, people don't like to tell people they believe in ghosts. And then you do. And now your friend is, like, your best friend in the whole wide world.
Right. And it's entirely possible that you might make a ghost hunting team and have your own podcast. Because that may or may not be how this thing happened, too.
Well, we don't want, like, competition. We want...
Oh, if people, there's plenty of ghosts out there and there's lots of podcast time.
That's
true. I say if people want to do some ghost hunting, maybe they don't want to do their own podcast. Maybe they want to come in and share with us.
That, yes, that's where I was going to go with that too. Go on a ghost hunt, call in, tell us about it. I think we should do a call-in episode pretty soon.
Okay.
I think that'd be a lot of fun. I think people would like it. I think I'd like to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you get a phone.
I used to use a computer.
More people Skype in?
We can Skype in. We can do numbers. We can do the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Can we do that for my birthday?
Whatever you like.
That's what I am.
It's your birthday.
Let's do that for my birthday.
Amelia and I seem to have experienced some technical difficulty with the end of this week's podcast. So real quick, here's what you missed that didn't get recorded. Our contact information, as always, we are on all of the social media platforms. We are on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. You can reach us on our website, www.ghosthuntinginnewengland.com. You can reach us by email at ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or on Facebook. We love to read those on the air and give you a personal thank you. If you don't think that we deserve the 5-star review, please send us a direct and private message and let us know what we could do to earn a 5-star review from you. Please don't leave us a 1-star review. I go home and cry when that happens. A big thank you to Aaron Schild for doing the music. Please check out his band, The Dirt Road Degenerates. And we will see you guys all next week. In the meantime, happy hunting.
Life can be stressful, and self-care is important. Relax and get balanced with Manipura Body & Mind's collection of Reiki-infused bath and skincare products. Bath and shower bombs, body scrubs, lip balms, and so much more, made with real essential oils and 100% vegan ingredients. Handcrafted by Reiki Masters in Belmont, Massachusetts, and always made with love. Buy online at ManipuraBodyAndMind.com. That's Manipura, M-A-N-I-P-U-R-A, BodyAndMind.com.